Hello and welcome to the sixth and last episode of The Sound of Science. My name is Julia Zimbauer, and I'm the creator and host of this podcast. In the sixth episode of The Sound of Science, we'll be discussing different types of music tech and their interactions with neuroscience. We will be exploring the realms of neurofeedback, brain music therapy, and how music can be made by brainwave patterns and frequencies. Before we get any further, I just wanted to say that I have thoroughly enjoyed my time hosting this podcast. Prior to this project, I had actually never dabbled in podcasting before, and it's been such a cool learning curve, both learning how to record and edit, but also learning how to research and educate on a variety of topics. So, all of this being said, I want to say thank you for supporting me in this fun journey. It means a lot. Before we officially start this episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast as well as follow it on Instagram under The Sound of Science, with underscores between each word. Without further ado, let's get into this episode. Did you know that there are types of music tech that can help individuals become consciously aware of their mental patterns? Did you know that there are different forms of music therapy where individuals can create music based on their brainwaves? To start this discussion off, I would first like to bring up the topic of neurofeedback. Neurofeedback is a way of monitoring the brain's activity, usually in brainwaves, and then using this information to create healthier habits consciously. In neurofeedback, something called BCIs are used. A BCI is a brain-computer interface, and it's a method of controlling a device with brain signals. In the context of neurofeedback, individuals can have real-time insight into their brain activity through the power of EEG and fMRI scans. Conducting an EEG, or electroencephalography scan, involves putting electrodes on the scalp and information can be conducted through this electrical activity. fMRI scans are typical to an actual MRI scan, but fMRI scans involve conducting information about blood flow throughout the brain and body. With these types of brain information, individuals can consciously understand and work to change their brain activity through the application of different mental strategies. In music, neurofeedback has been used in a myriad of different ways, from emotional processing and understanding to using it for the healing components with psychological disorders. There have been multiple studies on the interactions of psychological disorders and neurofeedback, but one that I found particularly interesting was done on depression in the elderly. The first part of this study was that participants were given pre-selected music that they listened to with their eyes closed, and they were encouraged not to move their bodies. The neurofeedback system was created based on the ratio of alpha waves to beta waves, and it connected back to the music's tempo and volume. We will get into what these specific waves mean later, but as a starting point, alpha waves and beta waves can provide information into what our mental activity looks like. Back to the study, when there was a higher beta-alpha wave ratio, arousal increased and the music turned louder. Within this study of depression in the elderly, when they felt emotionally excited with the music, the participants were encouraged to try to turn up the loudness of the music using their brain. At the end of the study, after multiple tests and EEG scanning took place, the participants' overall depression scores decreased by 17%. A second area of neurofeedback in music is the power of the reward-consequence feedback system. With this, brain patterns are observed from positive ones like calmness to negative ones like anxiety. Music is the form of positive-negative feedback used, and types of music are selected based off of personal preference. When the brain produces a positive state, the music continues. When the brain produces a negative one, the music will change for the worst, either slowing down, stopping, or even distorting. Once the music either stops or continues, the brain can start to recognize these patterns and adjust them accordingly to either continue the music or start and create the reward of the music. Over time, the brain will become better at regulating its activity, even when there is not a specific reward like music that is tied into it. The music is what conditions the brain to almost rewire some thinking habits. Neurofeedback has been used in a lot of different studies to dive into the possible positive effects of conscious data recognition. A study conducted by Linda Bedrani looked into the specific effects of neurofeedback in cancer patients. In this study, valence and arousal were tracked, as these are both contributors into bodily stress and also overall well-being. In this study, multiple groups were established. One experimental group focused on neurofeedback with music. It contained aspects similar to a music therapy session, but it had live brain monitoring and conscious adjustments to brain activity. The second group focused just on listening to music without neurofeedback. Basically, they were passively listening to music, but still in a music therapy context. 5 sessions of neurofeedback were conducted for the first group, and 2 music therapy sessions were conducted for the second group. Quantitative data was collected with EEG scans and also questionnaires with the patient. In the end, both groups reported positive outcomes, but in different ways. With the experimental group, using neurofeedback sessions, they reported lower arousal levels, which means they were more calm and relaxed. The music therapy group reported higher valence levels, so an increase of positive emotions. This study alone was a great representation on the potential effects of music therapy and neurofeedback, and how both types of therapies can relate back to mentally helping patients who have physical or neurological health issues. Neurofeedback can also fold into a different area of music tech and healing, BMT. Behavioral music therapy, or BMT, is a different method at regulating and relaying brain signals. The interesting part of BMTs is that it directly relates to music creation, and in this case, music that is developed from the frequencies of our own brain waves. Before we get too far into the weeds of BMT, I think it would be very beneficial to give an overview of the different types of brainwaves and how they relate to our overall well-being and functioning. In an article published in 2016 called Neurofeedback, a comprehensive review of system design, methodology, and clinical applications, gives a broad view of these different frequency waves, stating that delta waves are produced when we sleep, alpha waves are produced when we are awake and relaxed, gamma waves when a person is involved with cognitive processes like problem solving, theta waves are seen when we are sleepy, and beta waves are seen when we are alert. So I'm going to dive into all of these brain waves, give kind of like an overview of what they are, what frequencies they involve, and also how these waves can kind of tie into our well-being and functioning. I'll start off with alpha waves. So to start, alpha waves are probably one of the most commonly discussed brain waves. I know that this was the first one that I ever knew of, even in my AP Psych class in high school. So this brain wave has frequencies usually between 8 to 13 hertz, and it can be used in different types of brain training. By stimulating certain frequencies, alpha waves can be manipulated in a way that helps with various diseases, anxiety, or even healing with brain injuries. The most commonly used frequency range for this kind of treatment is within the range of 7 to 10 hertz. Next, beta waves, or waves with the frequencies of 13 to 30 hertz, can be used to help with focus and cognitive processing within the brain. The frequency range that is manipulated is usually around 12 to 15 hertz, and manipulating these waves can even help with sleeping. On the topic of sleeping, theta and delta waves are both commonly associated with sleep. Theta waves between 4 and 8 hertz are distinguished as the brain waves in the early stages of sleep. Manipulation of these frequencies can help with hypnosis as well as reduce anxiety and other mental disorders. Delta waves are usually less than 4 hertz, and they are deep sleep waves that are activated in later phases of our sleep cycle, so usually within stage 3 and stage 4. Manipulation of them directly relates to sleep, memory, also reducing pain. Gamma waves have the highest frequencies of these five waves, coming in at about 30 to 100 hertz. Working with these waves helps with organizational skills, cognitive sharpness, recalling memories, and also establishing and maintaining neural connections. So let's go back to BMT and brainwave music creation. BMT is a type of music therapy that involves the creation of unique brainwaves, where frequency ranges are mapped to notes, creating innovative and interesting types of personal music. For behavioral music therapy, BCIs, or brain-computer interfaces, are used. This time, BCIs are used in the context of music creation. For this episode, I will go into the journey of a specific individual, Bhagavan Marakathalingasivam. Bhagavan created this music by combining information from EEG scans, using coding to map and identify frequency ranges, and then assigning different frequencies to note pitches and creating a music track. How is this done? Let's go back to the very beginning. First off, a BCI is used to sense and identify the electrical signals from our brain. By placing electrodes on certain parts of the scalp, we are able to have a look into the data of our brain and what frequencies are visually shown. Next comes the coding portion of this project. Through coding, Bhagavan connected a device to test the types of frequency signals and find things like sampling rate and solidify the channels of the different waves. Then, this device can start collecting information, keeping track of the EEG signals, and collecting numerical data. Following this, filters are added to the brainwaves to eliminate data that would be unnecessary to the code. So this would be something like the frequency of our heartbeat, or something that is not tying into the different types of waves. This makes sure that the only frequencies mapped are those of the waves that we previously discussed, which is alpha, beta, theta, gamma, and delta. Using the strength of these different frequencies of different types of brainwaves, the amplitudes are then mapped to individual notes. So with the EEG data, certain numbers are applied to certain numerical ranges of waves. In this study, it was usually assigning waves to value ranges like 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, and so on. If the strength of the wave is higher, then the pitch of the note will be higher as well. Next, a data library is used. So this data library, the purpose of it is to help determine what the final musical product will sound like, both in tempo, pitch, loudness, that kind of information. After mapping it to a MIDI file, the musical product is then finished. Even though it doesn't sound like a full symphonic composition, it's truly fascinating to see how this kind of music can be created solely from our biology. This kind of music can also be used in a multitude of different ways. For starters, this music can identify if there are any abnormal brain issues. By being able to see into what areas are activated through the EEG scans, any glaring issues can start to be noticed. The second way that this brain music can be used is actually in the music therapy context. This is where behavioral music therapy comes into play. A study was conducted by Galina Midlin, who is a professor of psychiatry, and she studied the interaction of BMT, behavioral music therapy, and insomnia. For the participants, personalized brain music was created, where brainwaves were converted into piano music notes. After creating this personalized brain music, they burned it onto CDs, and individuals were given their own brainwave music, and they were encouraged to use it to fall asleep and try to see if they could use it to reduce their anxiety. After tracking data measuring sleep and anxiety levels, the finishing result of this study was that BMT could be beneficial to helping treat early signs of anxious insomnia. Brain-computer music interfaces, such as the system used by Bhagavad, have also had interactions with conditions discussed in previous episodes. Alzheimer's, a neurodegenerative disease, can be strongly impacted by brain-computer music interfaces through music creation, where these individuals have a place for personalized music therapy as well as self-discovery. In other cases like Parkinson's, locked-in syndrome, or even Asperger's, neuroimaging technologies like BCMIs can help increase positive emotions and also overall mental functioning and well-being. In summary, neurofeedback is a way of tracking brainwave information and relaying it to participants, where they can consciously interpret and adjust their mental processing to form consistent, healthier thinking. By using music as an incentive, individuals can cognitively train their brains to rewire their thinking habits. Next, we discuss the different types of brainwaves in their frequencies, relations to our bodies, and also how different manipulations of different frequencies can actually heal and help with the body and mind. The five different brainwave frequencies we discussed are called alpha, beta, delta, theta, and gamma. Third, we dove into the realm of BMT, or behavioral music therapy, where brainwaves can be filtered, studied, coded, and mapped to different pitches. In the end, this music is then tracked to a final MIDI file. And this individualized brain music can be used for a lot of different purposes, and there's a lot of research that has been started backing the impacts of this brain music on different disorders, such as anxiety disorders or insomnia issues. Thank you so much for listening to the sixth and last episode of The Sound of Science. I hope that over the course of our time together, you've been able to learn about the many different ways that music can interact with us neurologically, as well as take away some really cool insights about these topics. From the start of early 2025, we've covered the different parts of the brain, music's interaction with Alzheimer's, music therapy and its benefits, songwriting and subliminal messaging, the brain and writing music, and lastly, the interaction of music tech and neuroscience. Whether you were a consistent listener or just heard an episode or two, I just want you guys to know that I genuinely do appreciate the support. It's been such a pleasure getting to learn about these topics as well as relay this information to you all in a really fun and innovative way. I really cannot wait for the next chapter of what I'm going to study in my major of music production. And it's been such a growth opportunity to be able to learn how to produce a podcast with recording, but also just researching this series. Walking out of this semester, I am filled with nothing but gratitude for everyone that played a role in this series. If any of you guys are interested in listening to the previous episodes of The Sound of Science, you can find this channel under The Sound of Science on Spotify, or find the project's page on Instagram titled The Sound of Science, with underscores between each word. That's it for today, and for the last time, thank you for listening.